All right, we're ready to get started. We're honored today to have another member of our teaching crew here, Ed, to give us a word this morning. And if you notice, I like that subject, salt and light, right? So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Ed. All right, give me your attention, please.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, we'll get in some salt first. Read some scripture. I did forget my, I had my laptop, I had my phone, and I had my, what's the other one? iPad. And I was like, all right, if something goes wrong, I got three things, right? And I forgot the iPad at home.
Nothing's going to go wrong.
All right, Matthew 5. Verse 11 says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Then he goes on to say, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. The last part. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So I asked, when I was reading it, studying, I asked myself, okay, why did Jesus talk about persecution and then talk about being salt? You know, because that's part of the context. So I'm thinking to myself as I'm doing my study. And this is how I came up with this, you know, this whole message was that scripture, and kind of reviewing that and thinking, okay, so he's talking about persecution, and then the next sentence he's talking about being salt. And so I believe, you know, what I was studying about was he is saying, don't lose your purpose during persecution. So we're salt, and he was talking about how you're salt. How can salt not be salty, right? And so during a time of pressure or persecution or you know, trials of life, you know, it's a reminder, you know, he's telling us, hey, don't forget you're the salt of the earth, you know. Don't forget that during this time doesn't mean that you're not salt. Otherwise, you know, what good is it? I said, don't allow your heart to become rocky. And I looked up this verse here about Matthew 13. It says, this is Jesus explaining the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower, where he throws out seed, and it falls on different types of ground, right? And this is the one where he says, the seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So that whole script, you know, that whole parable that Jesus was talking about, where, you know, throwing that seed out, and what I'm saying is, if we're salt, and, you know, I think of marriages. When I thought about this, I'm thinking, Okay, how many times, how many marriages do you, you know, what's the statistics? The marriage fails in how many years? The first 5 years, right? And then a business also, it fails in the first 5 years. It's either going to succeed or fail after the first 5 years. And I think to myself, you know, why is that? Why is that true for a business? Why is it true for a marriage? And it's the troubles of financial situations in a business and at home as well. But those troubles of life that come upon us is going to either prove our faith or it's going to prove that we have no faith. That's the way I look at it. So in a business, you know, you're going to have many challenges that you didn't predict. Maybe you lose some customers. Maybe, you know, you had some, you know, a storm come that flooded your business, and a lot of people close up shop because of that, because they weren't prepared and didn't plan and didn't have that, you know, that whole process of faith and have everything built on the right foundation.
Ed?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm always
amazed. Yeah, you're talking about, you know, how that so many people get into an endeavor, whether it's marriage, business, or whatever, and they haven't counted that cost. They haven't sat down and evaluated. This is what it's my time, my resources, maybe your reputation. You know, you're going to be thrown into circumstances that you're not familiar with, you know. And you know, like being in the business world, you may have had to go before boards and do a presentation about what your company's all about. Mm-hmm. And you may say, you know, hey, these are the high rollers, you know. Right. And so you're always being challenged in whether it's, you know, whatever it is that God calls you to do, that's where you've got to sit down and really say, hey, am I really willing to go through that time where things don't look good? Mm-hmm. You know, because we always tell people there's always that light at the end of the tunnel. And there's times people just aren't going to make it. They just don't have the business acumen or, you know, whatever it might be. And that's why it's so important to have people around you that encourage you, that are there helping you and have part of that vision too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because those, you know, those tough times, I think of Esther, you know, with your business. And how many times did you probably, you're sitting there and you're like, I just want to quit. I just want to give up. Right. But had you had done that, where you had been where you're at today with God's blessing, you know. So, you know, as Christians, it's important. Sit down, take inventory and say, what is God going to do with me? What do I want him to do? Right. And you'll be amazed at how many times he will open those doors. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Brian, this is a small thing, but it's Brian always wanted to be the announcer for the Melvindale football games, didn't you? Well, you know, you can't have everything, brother.
They both start with an M.
All right. You know, God does miracles, Chief, but okay, we don't know what we can believe for with that one. That's a step. It's a stepping stone. Well, you will be announcing our game when we play at U of M, you know, so there you go. You just weren't specific enough. But, you know, because as kids, he was always listening to these announcers and what have you, and then the guy that used to announce, Mark Kevorkian, was a good friend of ours, so. You know, and then when he passed, you know, they needed somebody to do it. He started working, but now he does the games, he does the basketball games, and you know, it's really open doors for him with the kids, and you know. But there were those times. Hey, he had to tell his wife, "I'm going, honey," and I'm sure you'd rather had him home, you know, doing something. No, she said, "Go." She said, "Go get the heck out of here." But you know, that's the thing, and I'm sure we can all go through that. It's really sitting down, taking that inventory, and just saying, God, you know, use me as that salt.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But sometimes we spend too much time planning on failing.
Mm-hmm.
What about marriage? You use that as an example?
Right.
How much time and effort is put into getting a lawyer, drawing up a prenup for when my marriage ends? If you had put that planning and time towards making the marriage work, you would not need that prenup.
Right.
Right.
Right. But I think about that example, you know, a marriage, you know, and I liken that to our walk is when you first became a Christian, right? the first time you had that experience of finally giving your life over. That first year of being a Christian, right, is like a marriage. It's like a honeymoon, right?
Yeah.
It's like everything's great.
Where's my
this
wife?
Is everything's good until that what I would say that blind love comes off, you know, and you start realizing that there's also work in it. Okay, so the first, you know, you're partaking of all the good stuff first, and then you realize, okay, well, you know, this lazy bum doesn't even pick up his clothes, you know. Or he doesn't even clean up after himself. Whatever it is,
hey,
but
those comments your daughter's been giving you recently, or
yeah,
that?
No,
yeah,
yeah. I'm just using that as an example, so I'm not offending anybody. But you know, those are the things that, you know, when we first become a Christian, right? There's kind of a grace, you know, of that, and then. You know, when the rubber meets the road, you know, it's when your faith is challenged or tested, or someone, you know, doesn't accept, you know, doesn't, or harasses you because you're a Christian, you know, it's, are you still going to stand? Are you still going to be, all right, so next thing is how do I guard myself so that I don't fall into those same, you know, those same tendencies, right? And one of the things that I thought was of 1 Timothy here, and I wrote down, recall those things spoken over you so that you don't make shipwreck of your faith. And that's what this 1 Timothy here says, is this is Paul talking to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to the faith and good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. You know, we have to recall, you know, when you're in those times of persecution, it's how has your faith grown? I mean, obviously that you're being put into the fire, and the fire purifies, right? Mm-hmm. But how do you last through the fire? And, you know, I remember David also, and when everyone wanted to stone him because they lost all their family and their wives and their children. They all got together and was like, okay, let's stone this guy. He's obviously, he caused all this trouble. So we strengthen our faith by remembering during those tough times, those things that were spoken over us. I mean, I remember when I became a member, there was some prophecies and there was things spoken over me. And I also remember, you know, when some hard times we went through with my wife when she went into surgery, and there was some words spoken over her, and I held on to those words, right? And they strengthened me through it, and it was definitely needed during that time. So you got to strengthen yourself by going back, looking back. Pastor Don.
You know how important it is to remember those things that we speak over one another, and just the opposite is true. How many people remember the negative things that people speak over them? You'll never achieve this. You'll mm-hmm. never be able to do this. And, you know, we see it in the natural realm all the time. You know, as a coach, you know, I told a story about the three triplets that we had come last year, and they showed up, and, you know, they could at least catch and throw a ball, but they were horrible, you know. But the coach that they had at the – and they weren't even going to try out for the softball team. They were over there, God forbid it, trying out for the soccer team. Okay? I mean, jeez. I even hate to say that.
Right?
I go to church.
They don't go together. Yeah. Foot and hand.
Okay? Don't hand me over to Satan to be tortured because I just... But these three girls were sitting in the stands, and I called them to come out, and, you know, they end up kept coming and kept coming. And you could see the progress in them because people were speaking, hey, you can do it. You're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to do it. But they kept, you know. But in the back of their mind, and I didn't know this at the time, and they told me at the end of the year, they said, our former coach told us you will never make the Western team.
Wow.
And so, you know, that coach, instead of encouraging them and saying, hey, you know, this program can make you better. Get with it. Work hard. And, you know, at least try and see where the chips fall. You know, but, I mean, pull the rug out right from underneath them. And but when you saw where they were and where they're at today, a world of difference. They were so bad. Their mother had them on videotape, and they videotaped. Their mother was laughing at them, watching them, because they were so bad.
Wow.
And at the end of the year, the mother came up and thanked the coaches and said, you know, I can't believe how far they came. So I gave them an award at the end of the year. I always give like a gag award. And what I did is I put, the award was, you'll never make the Western team, and I signed it from their former coach. Because I wanted them always to remember, don't let somebody with the negative words stop you from trying stuff. And people go through life, and you know, where they were told they were dumb or what have you. And here we have Timothy, Paul encouraging him to remember the words that godly men spoke over his life, that you can do it, keep going, you know. Because I'm sure he faced that negative, you know, type of stuff. And, you know, he gives an example of there, Hymenaeus and Alexander. So that's why walking with Christ is so important, and knowing what he has for your life. Because he sees you down the road. He sees that finished product, what you can be if you keep on keeping on and doing the right thing.
Right.
But if you stop because somebody tells you you can't do it or what have you, you'll see that marriage is going to go in, you know, the toilet. Your life, your job, your business, whatever it might be, just doesn't work out.
Yes.
Yeah, when I was preparing for this message, I left it out, but I was looking up some different things about being shipwrecked, and probably most of you guys remember, or probably a lot of you remember the Gatsby of World War II, right? The ship, it was a battleship, and it was a German battleship, and there was basically at sea three British smaller ships, and they engaged and they fought. And basically the ship took off and got into port in a neutral ground, and there was a rule that said if you're in port, you had to come out within 24 hours. But the other side, the enemy, or the, you know, the allies in this case, they also have to leave port. So the allies, the British and the French, rotated so that they were both leaving port, right? And so this bigger ship was sitting there thinking, I got to get out of here, but these guys are here. So then the British bring in some ships in the back, like some freighters, and they're creating all this smoke and everything in the background, and they tricked the Germans into believing that they had more ships come, and they had. You know, basically, as soon as they come out of the port, they were going to blow this gunner, you know, to smithereens. And so the general of the German ship, the captain or whatever, he decides to sink the ship. So, you know, what you're talking about is that those negative words of you can't do this. And he didn't even know what was out there. And he decided not to take the risk of taking his boat out, and he'd rather sink it right there. And that's, you know, making shipwreck of our faith by listening to people other than, you know, other than the word, other than, does it line up with Scripture? Is it a positive, you know, is it something biblical? And are you believing the enemy? So these guys at this they were tricked into sinking their own ship, and that was I thought that was pretty cool. But it's definitely shows that Satan comes against us, right? And whether it's Satan or the world or our own, you know, weaknesses, they want to put us into a box and basically trap you into thinking that you can't succeed. So salt is a preservative, and God wants us to be preservative. We should make everything taste better. That's the way I look at it. If we're salt, right, then we should make everything taste better. I don't know about you, but I like some salt on my steak, right? Amen. Without that salt, it just tastes like a piece of meat. Right? So, obviously too much salt can also be bad, right? But, you know, when we're salting things, think about it that way. When you're out in your work field, your mission field, because everywhere you go is your mission field, you should be salting, lightly salting. Not, okay, I'm going to dump it on this guy. No, that piece of meat is not going to taste any good after you dump all that salt on it, right? Lightly salting.
Ed, I always think of this scripture because why you sit down on the job?
You know, I was just going to say, I always think of this scripture. You know, I drive down Ford Street because you got the salt company there. And you were sitting on top of one of the largest salt reserves in the world. You know, some of us that were older, we remember, you know, back on Saturdays, you'd get that rumble under your feet, and they're blowing up the, you know, dynamite in the salt. And those salt mines, man, they go. But it's a valuable resource used for so many things, like you said, for taste or what have you. But, yeah, I always see that. And big old mountains of salt out there covered with tarps. And, you know, they used to give tours. You could go down in those mines, and it was just an incredible event to go down there. But salt, never lose, you know, that understanding that you're that preservative. You're put into a particular place, you might hate it, right, Kenny? You're at that place for a while, or Chief, you just never know, and it drive you crazy, but you know, maybe that's God's purpose for you to be in there,
right? So we had a couple of scriptures with that. It says Mark 16:15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Matthew 28:19-20 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So, if we're salt, we're to be preservatives, then that means, you know, like Jesus says here, is we need to go into all the earth and preach the gospel. And that's, you know, being salt. That's what salt does. Luke 6:32-36, it says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. That's, I think, I know myself, sometimes that's a struggle to do, right? It's like, of course. I mean, that's the way, that's comfortable to love those people who love you, right? That's comfortable. But to be good to those who don't love you, or who hate you, who persecute you, you know, who say mean things, or, you know, like you were talking about Kenny. I mean, we all know that Kenny was in, and he had a rough time, so. But he was there, and I know that he was there ministering to people all the time through his, even though he had to work lots of hours and do all that stuff, You know, he was doing those things. He was loving those who people don't love, and he was, you know, being that salt. Of course, my next question is, why is Jesus talking about light? And he gave us salt and then light. And so then my thought was, you know, Scripture uses light and darkness as a reference to good and evil. And John 3:19 says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So if Jesus is light and we're in Christ, then that's why he's referring to us as light, right? Because we're supposed to be like Christ. That's what a Christian is, follower of Christ. And a follower or a disciple needs to become like the person they're following. Right? So we're not supposed to keep our own ways. We're not supposed to be, you know, Ed Lindenbauer of, you know, it's my ways, my stuff, you know. It's, no, I have to reflect Christ. I have to be Christ, not in the sense of a blasphemy or anything like that, but I have to be Christ to those who are in the world. Genesis 1:16 says, God made two lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. So I said, I thought about that and I said, well, if we know, you know, the sun in the sky during the day is actually, and the moon is still there, even though we can't see it, it's just so much light. And it's absorbing the light from the sun. So when the earth rotates, right, and then you don't see the sun, the moon then starts shining. And that's what we're to be, is we're the moon. Jesus is the sun, and we should be reflecting, absorbing, and then reflecting back that light, reflecting him to the world, right? And then I like, you know, in an example of that was in Acts here. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. It's like, how many people, you know, I want people to take note and say, there's some that I know it's got to be Jesus. That's that guy. He's reflect, you know, I see Christ in him. I don't want him to see me, because that's not a good thing to see, right? So now we're going back. I went back to the beginning here, and I highlighted a couple of things, and I was talking about being salt again. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty? And then I highlight it. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. If you put salt on your food and it's not salty, I would throw that salt right in the garbage, right?
Can I say something here?
Go ahead, Pastor.
You know, the context of what in the people that Jesus are speaking to is not Christians. It was Jews under the old covenant. I mean, this applies to us, don't get me wrong. But he's giving them a prophetic warning here too. They were supposed to have been the light to the world. They were supposed to take the knowledge of who the true God was to all the nations. And for many years they did that. We talked about that up to about 400 years prior to the birth of Christ, the Jews were very evangelistic. They find in China and Japan remnants of synagogues that the Jews were sending missionaries all over the world. This, you know, way prior to the birth of Christ. Mm-hmm. So they were fulfilling the mandate that God had given them. So when Christ shows up, this is really a warning to the nation that they had lost their flavor. Mm-hmm. And they were soon to come under the judgment of God and to be trampled upon by their enemies. And so we lose that. I mean, we always apply that. And like I said, it does apply to us. We want to keep that saltiness, you know. But what it says here is no longer good for anything. And so that whole Jewish system, the temple, the sacrificial system, that was going to be destroyed because of the corruption, because of the insignificance, and because of the real lamb, the real sacrifice, the true payment had come. And it was no longer going to be people that were born into the covenant physically. It was going to be those born spiritually into the covenant. So this is serving as a warning. We remember when Jesus gives this Sermon on the Mount, he's recalling the blessings and the curses of the covenant that was established with Moses back on Mount Sinai. And so he's trying to wake the people up here too. And I think, you know, I'm just throwing that out there because this was really a prophetic warning. Who's the you in that? It's his audience there, and they were Jews. Right. And they are the ones that had really set aside the vision, the mandate that God had given them. Mm-hmm. And how important it is for us to keep the vision and the mandate that God has given us.
Right.
Otherwise, we too can fall under the same judgment.
Right.
You know, we got to be about the Father's business. That's what he said, you know. Mm-hmm. And once we turn away from his business to our business, he'll give us the business.
Mm-hmm. That last part, be trampled underfoot, that's exactly what they did. When salt become of no more use, they would actually take it out and throw it on the roads. It would harden, it would get hard, it would help the road. But also, salt would kill anything that was growing. So it no longer any good. Not only was it not bringing life, like you said, it was actually doing the opposite. It wasn't doing just nothing. It was stifling the growth of life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, the other part I highlighted here was in the being light, it says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So when we're light and we shine and we do what we're supposed to be doing, then it glorifies God. You know, people see that and they don't attribute it to you, or, you know, they don't say, oh, Bob's such a great guy. They see that and go, well, man, I knew Bob in the past. Look at that guy. Look what he's doing now, right?
What good can come out of Southwest Detroit?
Right. So they say, wow, man, God is wonderful, right? It's like, how can he do that? And then they have hope that they can also.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. I give a lot of people hope.
And then this is my last scripture. We got to close here. But talks about, maybe I can read it in time. So this is the vine and the branches. So, you know, talking about how do you stay in Christ, and, you know, how do you remain in him so that you're not, you know, you're not falling away because of the trials of this world. It says, I am the true vine, and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear even more fruit. You already are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire to be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. And I highlighted that part because that's important. Is if you remain in my commands, not just because you say I follow Christ. If you follow Christ, then you will remain in his commands. Okay, so it says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. I'm going to end there because we're out of time. So,
amen. Amen. Ed, is it all right if I have Sammy close for us? All right. Sammy from Alabama.
All right, Father, we just thank you for this day. We pray, God, that we will just honor you and follow your commands, Lord God. Let us just be salty and be the light for this world, Lord God, and direct them right to you. We just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.